the Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
Well, Throwback Thursday, but it's also Earth Day today. This is Don't Kill the Whale by Yes, celebrating Earth Day today on a Throwback Thursday. Let's go out to Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Gabe Lax, USA Today, to talk about the merger of gambling and the all of these sports entities that once pushed that aside. How are you, Gabe?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Good. All right. You know, we were just kind of chatting about this earlier, and the easy answer would be money as to why these leagues are partnering up with these gambling sites. But money had always been there, and they still would refuse association with Vegas. What changed? What made them say, all right, now we'll go get the money?
Yeah, I think just opportunity above all, and, you know, kind of this realization that, I mean, it's kind of a slow, you know, a slow creep. You know, this obviously there were fantasy sports, and that was sort of an underlying, you know, sort of thing. And you slowly saw the leagues acknowledge the existence of fantasy sports and realize that perhaps fans watched for reasons beyond merely cheering for, you know, the hometown team or their favorite players. And you know, eventually that leads to daily fantasy sports, and then there's just this massive opportunity here, not only for revenue, but to you know, maintain a foothold and engage the fan for longer. It's and then you kind of look at how it's gone globally, you know, in places like England, where you know it's been a you know a thing for quite a while. So it's and you know the world didn't stop spinning on its axis. So it's it's just been an interesting convergence of opportunity and revenue and relevance. You know, all these things that these leagues are sort of clamoring for, and here we are. And now it's you know, it's kind of like you can't get away from the incessant promotions, because every sports book wants your money, wants their app on your phone, and here we are, kind of off and running with now more than half the states you're able to legally gamble in some fashion on sports.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I remember being younger and I would watch the British Open, and they would always talk about fans going to the local book to bet on this golfer, and I was like, well, we don't openly do that here, like. We may do it in Vegas, but we don't openly do that here. How much did the leagues look, like you were saying, look at that and saying, you know, that's sort of part of the life and part of the culture in these other countries. There's got to be some way we can embrace it.
Right. And, you know, try to find a way to, you know, to sort of like, you know, fold it in organically. But the thing that I find interesting is just how over the top it's been. You know, you just you look up at the big screen at a ball game, and it's you know, presented by BetMGM and all that, and I mean, it's, you know, the sort of over the top promotion of point, you know, point spreads and lines and over and unders and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not like it's just you know, available. It's like, please go do it, you know, in sports books within arenas that are coming online. That's I mean, it's funny. Yeah, the offhand mention of a British, you know, the British Open betting window. I think it's coming a lot quicker here than people even imagined. And I do wonder, you know, if there's, I don't want to say necessarily a backlash, but like, you know, like, gosh, you know, I just want to watch the game. You know, there's certainly going to be, I think, a segment of fandom that's going to feel that way. And I don't know if, you know, if at some point people will be alienated by it, or maybe, you know, maybe the blitz won't be so incessant once the market shakes out and everybody has their preferred, you know, preferred sportsbook provider. It seems like we see less Coke commercials on TV now that they've you know, beaten Pepsi, I guess, or, you know, McDonald's versus Burger King and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe once DraftKings and FanDuel have established their pecking order, maybe they won't be so bombarding us with their product.
In an age of internet, there's so much information for a fan/better, however you want to put that, to digest. But are these leagues opening up a little more on news of injuries, news of pitching matchups, news of anything that would affect an outcome of a game? Are they more willing to be opened up since this partnership, or are they still going to hold back a little bit of that as they've done in the past?
No, that's a really good question, and it's interesting. Major League Baseball now requires its managers to submit lineups to the league, which then sends them to MGM and the other shops first before it's even posted at the clubhouse. In the age of Twitter and such, that's kind of a key way. The thing that I find funny about that is they're really protecting the book more than the integrity of the game. That's
sure.
Just allowing the sports books to adjust before a savvy fan can look on Twitter and see that a beat writer has said, "Oh, hey, there's no Mike Trout in the lineup today, folks," or whatever the case may be. Max Scherzer has been scratched from his start. That's something I find interesting. But no, I think it does invite a lot of I don't know how nefarious or underhanded it might be, but the Bill Belichicks of the world are going to stay as cagey as they possibly can be about injury information, let alone the colleges where they may not acknowledge anything. Jim Harbaugh won't release his depth chart until the quarterback trots out for the first snap of the season. So that's a big information war. It may not be too different than it was. It's just on a bigger scale. The sharks or the sharps, if you will find a way to get that information. But still the mass majority of money being wagered will be by, people who just are the more casual gambler that may not live and die with every lineup switch or every tweak of an algorithm or whatever. That's definitely something that, is going to have to be looked at and adjusted as this thing evolves. And again, information is king when you're getting down to a half point here or there or all that kind of stuff. So transparency is always better, but it definitely runs against what so many kind of control freak coaches and front offices prefer, which is keeping things close to the vest.
How much of the revenue is locally generated by teams, especially in baseball? How much is locally generated by what they do within their state, and how much of it is the league level that may get divvied up amongst the teams?
In terms of gambling revenue?
Yeah, like if I'm the Yankees, I can do certain things that another team in a state that doesn't allow gambling can't do.
That's a good question, and I'm not exactly sure how that might shake out, but the thing that's interesting right now is there are partnerships that are emerging even without the legalization of gambling. Just to name one kind of more general one, Bally Sports, they hold television, they basically rebranded all the Fox Sports networks. They're now Bally Sports, and they hold the rights to 45 NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball teams. And for more than half of those teams, gambling is not yet legal in those states, or at least in a fashion very easily having gambling from your app or whatnot. So right now teams are free to strike deals even if gambling isn't legal. So it's all done based on the specter that gambling will eventually be legal. That's kind of what MGM and DraftKings and all the rest are. They're striking these co-exclusive partner kind of things, and all that kind of stuff. Even if it's not yet online, in New York, you still can't gamble online. Everybody's going over the border to New Jersey to open up their phone and place bets. So it's even if some states are looser than others right now, it's all kind of based on the expectation that it will be legal. But to your point, that is a very interesting thing that leagues will confront, and I don't believe that they have yet, which is, is that going to be part of the general pot, or is it going to be considered local revenue, especially in the NFL, where, revenue sharing is so, you know, such a big part of things, and local revenues are kind of off to the side a bit, even though the Jerry Joneses of the world always manage to, you know, find ways to maximize revenue without putting it into the general pot there. So, again, it's a massive, right now it's just a drip, but in the future it's going to be a massive, massive chunk of revenue that they're going to have to figure out how to divvy up, or just, you know, like you said, let it be every man, every team for themselves.
Gabe Lax again, USA Today. This is fascinating because I'm with you. I lived in Las Vegas in the 90s, and what has been able to occur in sports, we used to talk about as citizens of the city. We never thought we would see it, and now here we are 20 years later, and all of those things that we thought about, franchises in the city, gambling around the country, embracing gambling by these leagues, have all come to fruition.
Yeah, and, you know, even it's funny, remember Jimmy the Greek? He was such he was an aberration. He would, like, openly talk about the lines, but then, you know, there was kind of this fear that kind of settled in, you know, to where, you know, now, you know, for a couple decades there, it would be Al Michaels making a very subtle reference to the over-under when a meaningless field goal was being attempted with 20 seconds left. It's enough to make your head spin just because it was so verboten. And, that's a great point, too. The lack of sports franchises in Vegas. But one of the folks I talked to for the story, Jay Cornegay from the Superbook there, he remarked, and this didn't get into the story, but he was talking about how when gambling was allowed and they would go to a UNLV Running Rebels basketball game, and, you know, and of course him and his gambling ilk would know what the point spread was or what the over-under was, and they realized that not a ton of people had money on the game because they would listen for the, you know, kind of the guttural roar or the disappointment when, you know, when the game did or didn't go over 150 in the last minute, you know.
Right.
And he was kind of like, yeah, you know, it wasn't that you'd hear a few things, you know, but it wasn't like 15,000 people all with, you know, all with money on the game. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting when we do have fans back in the stadiums, you know, full throat, and if you know, and if this thing, you know, takes off even more, if you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. That is going to be awesome.
Right, a 7-2 baseball game, and it's 9.5 runs, and, you know, if it becomes 8-2, if the place goes nuts, you know, that'll definitely be something that we haven't experienced before.
Exactly. Gabe, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you. Great article, by the way, on this and all the pieces that fit together. Really appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Of course. Gabe Lax again, USA Today on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance and get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. Some thoughts on that as we continue. It is Wake Up Call.